Gospel according to Luke, chapter 9. I desire that we read from the verse number 49 to the verse number 56. Luke 9:49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Let us take a moment for prayer now. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy in this past week. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the relative peace in this country of our sojourning. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that in the regions where there is war and bloodshed and destruction, that Thou preserve Thy own, the souls that Thou hast redeemed, O Lord, if they are still in bondage, bring them to the liberty in Christ, and gather all the redeemed ones into Thy fold of grace and mercy, O Lord. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that in the regions where there is an abundance of food and raiment and luxury and sinful entertainment and all kinds of evil, and the people are eating and drinking and dying in their sins, O Lord, that Thou would graciously look upon the souls that Thou hast redeemed, O Lord, and deliver them from the bondage of sin into the liberty that Thou hast given in Christ to all those that believe. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray for us here and for all the others with whom we share the comfort of Thy Spirit and the encouragement of Thy Holy Word. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, have Thou mercy upon us and multiply Thy grace and give us grace and power to walk in Christ, to be the light of the world and the salt to this earth. For truly, O Heavenly Father, this earth is so saltless in spite of so much salt that Thou hast given. And in spite of that wonderful and glorious light that is shining through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the world is still so much in darkness, and that darkness threatens to overwhelm our poor and weak heart, O Lord. With the worries of this life, with the deception of riches, with the desires and plans, O Heavenly Father, it will never, never reach Thy heaven. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou give us grace and power to walk in that Spirit of Christ. Adorn our souls, Lord, we pray, in the purity, holiness, righteousness of Christ the Lord. and all that Thou hast given us in the abundance of Thy grace, Lord, we pray, give us grace to receive it. And for all that we have received, O Father, we pray for the grace to work with the talents that Thou hast given and to multiply that precious gold that is not corruptible and to share the gospel of salvation, to herald the coming of the great day of judgment, to pronounce, proclaim eternal doom upon all that are with their heart and mind married to Satan in sin. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, keep us unspotted by the world. Purify our thinking, emotions, affections. Make us free from vanity and pride, lust of the flesh, lust of eyes. Deliver us from our doubts and fears, ignorance and superstitions, O God our Father. Make us strong in faith. Fill our hearts with love and gratitude, praise and adoration of Thy holy name, to worship Thee in spirit and in truth, to offer up our soul and body upon the altar of the holy faith, the faith of the holy prophets, holy apostles, that altar sanctified by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Thou hast sent Thy beloved Son down to this earth, O Lord, the earth already soaked with the tears and blood of Thy holy and faithful witnesses, Lord. Thou hast sent him and he had come. And he proclaimed to us the wonderful word of Thine, the message of mercy and truth, the message of redemption, the message of deliverance, healing and restoration. And for all of that, in our sinfulness, in our darkened mind, O Lord, we cried, crucify, crucify him. For in our sinful souls, in our sinful mind and heart, there was no room for purity, holiness, righteousness of the Lamb of God. But Thou, O God our Father, in Thy great love and mercy, in that goodness and mercy that was following us even in the days when we rejected and refused, that faithfulness that Thou hast manifested upon us even from afar when we were faithless. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, Thou hast revealed to us the open abyss of hell and the open door of heaven through Christ Jesus. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, hast given us the grace and power of Thy Spirit to work upon our hearts and minds, to put to death the dead one, and to create the new life in Christ. O gracious Lord, how can we ever thank Thee? How can we ever praise Thee as much as Thou art worthy to be praised, honored, glorified, worshipped, obeyed? For Thou hast revealed to us, O Lord, that through suffering and death, through burial and resurrection, through ascension, and through the manifestation of the power of Thy Spirit, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that the same one who descended to the lowest parts of hell to redeem us, to deliver us, is the one that ascended up on high, bringing with him numberless captivity into freedom, O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, give us grace and power to worship with tears of gladness and gratitude the Most Holy One, All Gracious One, the Just God and the Savior. And now, Lord, as we look into these words that we read, Thou grant us that we do just as Thou hast done with Thy disciples. Not desiring to destroy, but to save. Give us grace and power, O Heavenly Father, to share with those that share Thy gospel, to reach out to those that are in darkness, and when they reject, just to shake off the dust and go our way, still proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we look all over this earth, give us that enlightened mind, that purity of heart, that holiness of soul that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we look at the cottages of poverty and misery, the ghettos of this country and all the other countries in the world, O Lord. As we look upon the palaces that in some countries just are being destroyed right now. As we look at the mansions filled with luxury, attractions to the lust of sinful minds, that we also, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, see no place for us where to lay down our head, that we may when we are tired, lay our hands on the bosom of the Savior and hear the heart that beats with love, eternal love, for those that once were loveless. That we may also attain that resurrection of Thine. That we may be the sowers of the seed and the reapers of joy, of that wonderful and glorious grace that broke the bars of hell, destroyed the doors of our prison, and led us into the liberty in Christ. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may our souls ever long to see Thy glory more and more. May our hearts rejoice in burning upon that holy altar, O Lord, of the most holy faith, faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. May we, O Heavenly Father, grow in love and grace, in goodness, in mercy, in fellowship in Thy Spirit, closer and closer unto Thee, until, O Heavenly Father, like the Enoch of old, we walking with Thee, have nothing more to keep us on this earth, that our souls, as that loved and cherished, preserved and groomed bride of the bridegroom, may engage in that eternal embrace of love that will last forever. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy loving kindness. We praise Thee, Lord, for that goodness and mercy of Thine. Thou art worthy, O Father, to receive worship and praise. But only Thy Spirit in us, the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of servitude, self-denial, self-sacrifice, the Spirit of peace and joy, the Spirit of fellowship, of love, and gratitude, can worship Thee. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, give us grace and power to grow in that worship, and to long for that heavenly kingdom and to rejoice for every clear sign and indication of thy goodness and mercy that flows from the throne on high to fill, to cheer, to sustain our souls in thy grace. For thou art God, O mercy and grace forevermore. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, on the way to Jerusalem, facing that awful sacrifice of His, is teaching His disciples to lower themselves, to get rid of their pride, to prevail against their vanity, and the Lord knows what is in their hearts, in their minds. So He said to them, having taken a child into His arms, or setting that child right next to Him, the Lord said, whosoever shall receive this child in my name, and I am to some extent surprised or amazed that some of those Gentile dominations that dare to call themselves Christians did not make a ceremony or some ritual of that once a year they take a child and set him by their priest and say, whosoever receiveth this child in my name is so and so. But somehow they didn't do it, probably because that was an example of humility, and the people hate humility, they love pride. But the Lord says, whosoever receiveth this child, whosoever will become like a child in my arms, like a child set next to me, trusting in me, obeying me, growing under my protection, whosoever shall receive that child, that one receiveth me, that one is Christ-like. And whosoever receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. An amazing teaching. And most of the people that have their credibility in their wisdom and their understanding would say incredible. And it does sound to the human ears incredible. The Lord God Almighty through His prophet said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As heaven is above the earth, so high are my thoughts above your thoughts. And now, through His Son, the Almighty God is declaring to us, through such humility as it is required to receive the gospel with simple and open heart, in a simple faith, childlike faith, trusting in the Lord, believing in His goodness and mercy, and surrendering to Him, casting ourselves at His feet, acknowledging we of ourselves are good for nothing. Have mercy upon us. Through such humility, through such strong desire and resolution to obey Him, we humble ourselves. We are at the doors of heaven, at the portals of heaven. We received Christ, and who received Christ received the Almighty God. And the Lord God has said, who toucheth you, my people, touches the apple of my eye. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said, no one can take my sheep from me, for my Father has given them to me, and my Father is greater than all others. Our Protector, our Savior, is greater than all our adversaries. If they could somehow not only add together their powers, but multiply to the power of one another. Still, the Almighty God is the Almighty, and the powers of darkness are self-destructive. Now, the Lord is teaching that humility, that meekness, that complete surrender to the Lord. And in verse 49, John is answering a young man, young brother, young believer. I believe very sincere, very honest, very lovable and loving, very zealous for his master. And yet, without the necessary understanding. Answering to this teaching of humility and surrender, John is answering, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. How does that relate to one another, other than great misunderstanding? The Lord is relating to the disciples, getting across to them how glorious, how marvelous it is to receive Christ. And that means receiving the Almighty God. Heaven became our home. And all the angels rejoiced in the redemption of the Lord. And when we believed, we became part of that redemption, part of that joy. What a fellowship. What a blessing. What an abundance of God's goodness and grace. And the disciples have that awareness to some extent, in some way. It's great. It's glorious. It's majestic to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since that is so glorious, let's destroy all the others that oppose us. No, 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 no. That's not the teaching of the Lord. Why would they forbid somebody else? What was the problem of so many, almost all of the kings of Israel and Judah? Is the problem of the disciples? Is the problem of the mankind? And is your problem and mine? When they saw another man casting out devils in the name of the Lord, if they didn't have enough grace and understanding in their hearts to welcome that, to encourage that, they could have at least come to the Lord and say, Master, there is a man doing this and that. How shall we relate to him? No, no, no. They knew that they knew. And whenever the people know that they know, they don't know how they know, but they know that they know, they're foolish. And the Lord said exactly that. Ye know not. How do we understand that? Not knowing with all the revelation, all the teaching of the Lord, they know not. Is there a more gentle word that would be sufficiently express the condition of their mind? Foolishness. That's what it is. But if they were foolish, what are we today? But the Lord did not answer to them as I did right now. He said, forbid not. He that is not against us is for us. In another place the Lord says, everyone that gathereth not with me scattereth. Everyone that is not with me is against me. And here, he that is not against us is for us. When we see the people doing something good, it's not our business, our task, to forbid them doing good. Even though they might have been doing that for wrong reasons. They might be doing deeds that appear the deeds of charity for political reasons, with evil intentions. The same countries or groups or programs that offer to the poor people in poor countries food and drink, they also offer to them ways and means of killing their children. But it's not our business to mingle into their business. We have the gospel to proclaim, the gospel to live, the gospel to share. The Lord said, he that is not against us is for us. And when we are in Christ, this can be fully applied to our everyday walk and living here on this earth. On the other hand, quite a few will flatter and have the heart of a treacherous enemy. And the Lord said, beware, O man. Watch it. Be cautious. Don't trust them. Neither fear them. Trust the Lord and obey Him. And so, it came to pass when the time was that he should be received up. Such a beautiful way that Luke is writing in the Gospel. And it's so good to look up when we are down here, when we are facing difficult and sometimes awful times. Look up. The Lord steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers before his face. Now, just keep in your mind that in the verse 48, the Lord told them about meekness, humbleness of heart, surrender to the Lord. In the verse number 50, do not be jealous, do not envy, do not compete. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And let Him take care of the others that are not with you. He sent messengers before His face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for Him. And they did not receive Him, because His face was as though He would go to Jerusalem. Why they did not receive Him? Did Samaritans hate Christ? No, I don't think so. They did not know Him. They were ignorant. They might have heard something that there is a prophet. But I would think that these Samaritans had no idea that the Lord, with His presence, brings healing to the soul and body. Otherwise, they would have treated Him in a different way. But that's my perception. And I'm a man, and I can be wrong. But whatever the ignorance or knowledge of these Samaritans was, I think that they hated Jews because Jews hated them. And it was an endless spiral. Mutual hatred. So, they refused to give them lodging. When the disciples, James and John, here they are again. In the verse 49, it was John alone. In the verse 54, James and John. When they saw this, they saw the rejection. And they remember how glorious it is to be the disciple or a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They take that in a carnal way, in a human way, in a Jewish way, not in a Christian way. When I say Christian, I talk Christ-like, not nominal Christian. When they saw that, the disciples, they said to the Lord, "Lord, will thou that we command fire to come?" They didn't say, "Lord, will thou command fire?" But will thou that we command fire? They would like to make some fire. These are Samaritans. You know, they are something lower than we. They are of different race, different religion, different background. They are not as good as we are. Human pride is very destructive. But the way of salvation is marked, colored, penetrated with humility, meekness. No, not softness. Not timidity or fear, but meekness. So they went to another village. It was necessary to stop at this village. They did not know that, I believe, but the Lord did. It was necessary in order to teach them that some of their thoughts, some of their feelings are godless. And so they go their way, they go toward Jerusalem. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Did anyone ask him? Why was it necessary to declare it so publicly or so openly? You see, we, as humans, we need affirmation. Or at least we think we need it. But we surely crave it. We feel sense, that urge to show that we are something good, something great. And the Lord said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." What does this mean? If you read some stories, especially children's stories, stories for children, you may find that our Lord was very poor. No, he was not. He had everything he needed. He was not poor. He had something that no one else on this earth ever had. Constant, continuous fellowship with the Heavenly Father. When the Lord Jesus Christ said these words, he didn't say it because he was longing for a home. Though I can see that in his body he was tired, and sometimes exhausted, and sometimes hungry and thirsty. And I can perceive that even his body that was not corroded by sin was still at times worn down living among the sinful people. But he had such peace and such joy and such compassion and such love that he was the wealthiest man that ever walked upon the face of this earth. An amazing divinity veiled with humanity. That never once in his manners, in his behavior, we can detect something, at least leaning toward sin. We can find in his behavior, in his walk upon the face of this earth, not the slightest indication that he ever desired anything less than the honor and glory of the Heavenly Father. And he says here, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, we could think that the Lord is talking about animals and birds, and on the face value of this passage, yes, he is. But I remember at this moment that when some of the people told to the Lord, get out of this place and get away, because Herod is seeking to destroy you, to kill you. And the Lord said, go and tell that fox, today and tomorrow I'm working, and on the third day my work will be complete. Go and tell that fox. You see, I think that this is a parable. That foxes are the people that rely on their craftiness, their deception, their misrepresentations to the public or to some individuals. The people whose ambition is to make a career of a social position, to become something recognized, to have power. Oh, power is so deceitful and so self-destructive. Human power. And that human power is so weak and so sinful. But the people use all of their skill and craftiness to climb up the ladder of social positions and power, not realizing that human honor and so-called human dignity, something that really does not exist, the high social position is one of the two, and sometimes both, a hole that will be flooded, or a hole in the ground that will crumble, or a nest in the branches that are swinging with every wind, the branches that often break when the wind is stronger, and the nest that are often washed away with a strong shower, heavy shower. Insecurity is all over the earth for everyone that trusted in this life and earthly goods, riches, honor, power. Vanity and vanity of vanities is all of that. None of these places or positions are worthy that the Son of Man would lay his head on. He cannot rest in the security that the world offers. He cannot find peace and rest in the promises of this world. But he is resting in the love and grace of the Heavenly Father. There is no palace, no wealth, no beauty in the most luxurious and glittering places of this world that can be ever compared with the beauty and abundance of peace and joy in the heavenly kingdom. And now for a moment let us glance back. To the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. There came another man in the verse 59, and he said, the Lord said to this man, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What is this teaching about? Another one also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And the Lord Jesus answered, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Did you ever see anyone plowing with his face backward? I wonder how crooked those lines would be. What was wrong with these people? Is that something that may reveal to us that there might be something wrong with us? The Lord said to one, follow me. And he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. What does that mean? Could not the Lord and his disciples go and participate in that burial? No, this man was not talking about a funeral. He was talking about a period of time. He needs first to take care of his father, and then he will become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember Corban? That was the gift, or a gift to the temple, or a free will offering to the Lord. All the substance that should have been used to sustain our old and aging feeble parents. And the Pharisees, in their hypocrisy, said, yes, the scripture or the commandments of God command that everyone take care of his parents. But if that man who has old and aging parents would take that money or that material goods that he owes to his parents, if he takes that and offers that to the Lord, Lord is greater than the parents, and so it's all right. That's a righteous deed, and then he has no obligation for his parents. It was a very nasty, ugly, hypocritical lie. Well, here's another one. Pretending that for the sake of taking care of his father, he cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either this man did not or did not want to understand the gospel. The gospel is teaching mercy and grace and goodness and care of one another. Anyone, let alone aging and needy parents. If he became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could have taken care of the parents in a better way. And if he really was concerned for his parents, he would be more eager to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he had Gentile eyes and ears and mind darkened by sin, believing that if I become a godly person, if I become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not be able to take care of my parents. Or maybe he simply lied. Just lied. Now this man was not a robber. He was not a murderer. He was not an awful sinner. He was an awful, fake, just man. The Lord said to him, follow me. And he said, Lord, first I want to bury. Actually, first I'll take care of my father until he passed away. Perhaps the father was bedridden. I don't know. But remember Matthew, the publican, when the Lord invited him, he immediately left everything and walked with the Lord, and invited the Lord to his home, and made a feast, and shared the presence of Christ the Lord with the other publicans. I think if this man really wanted to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could have taken care of his father and two other fathers or mothers. What did the Lord answer? Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. It does not mean leave your father alone and let him starve to death. No. But that's not the teaching of the gospel. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you will take care of your father just the way you should. Preach the kingdom of God in everything you do. And don't do anything that is against that teaching. And this other one said, Lord, I will follow thee. Here is another one that is very eager, very willing. But there is something first. Another lie. Another deception. None of those that received, found salvation or were found by the Savior, none of them received that salvation as long as there was anything first. The Lord must be first. Our need for salvation must be first. Everything else must be last. Let me first go bid them farewell. Why do you want to do that? Why do you bid them farewell? bid them come with you and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What will be the right answer? What will be the right proper action? A godly deed. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ and then share Him with all that are in your house. And the Lord Jesus answered him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Without Christ the Lord, without His gospel, without obedience to His will, we are all unfit. And yet He can make us fit. He said, "Ask and ye shall receive." He also said, "Whoever come to me, I will not cast him out." "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He has no place on this earth where to rest. And yet, He finds His pleasure to indwell and abide in the hearts of those that trust and obey. The goodness and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is so great that even we, you and I, can serve Him. He has the power, He has the grace to prevail against our weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes, misunderstandings, to disperse our unbelief and give us faith and obedience, to do His will from the heart, in love and gratitude. He is worthy to be worshipped in such a way.